Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the special CineVegas wrap-up edition of the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. Joining me for this edition is Julie Seabaugh, Las Vegas Weekly contributor. Thank you for being here.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me, Josh.
So we have just sort of wrapped up the CineVegas Film Festival, which was June 10th to 15th over this past weekend. And always a fun, interesting time, I think. And
I came back specifically for it Vegas.
Right.
Los Angeles.
You are in Las Vegas. See, this is what happens. You get tired and worn out from CineVegas, and you don't even know where you are.
That's true.
So the award winners were announced for the festival this year, the top winner being Easier with Practice, which won the Grand Jury Prize for Narrative Film. This movie, I wish I could say that I love this movie and that they gave a prize to a movie that's going to go on to great and wonderful things. But I was kind of lukewarm on this film. It's based on a true story from the editor of Found magazine, who also appeared at the festival,
Davy Rothbart,
and there's Davy something else is the character in this movie, but. He's on a book tour, and he's in a hotel room, and he gets a random phone call from some hot-sounding chick who suddenly wants to have phone sex with him and ends up having this sort of, like, lengthy phone-only relationship with her, and it affects his ability to relate to other people, and then there's a twist at the end, which we won't mention yet. We'll see if we can discuss it without mentioning the twist. So I don't know. I mean, I wish I had some like really strong praise for this movie. I think it's hard to make long scenes of people talking on the phone where you can only see one of them really cinematic.
Yeah, I agree. That was actually one of the first things I noticed was, I mean, the first scene when he's in the hotel room, it's got to be, what, at least 15, 20 minutes of one long continuous shot
right.
of him on the phone, not moving, looking straight into the camera. I mean, it was interesting. You're hanging on to what they're saying, obviously. I definitely agree with you. I actually just came out of there 10 minutes ago, and I found myself kind of wanting a little more.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive when they can do a really, really long single take like that. And, you know, the actor whose name I'm blanking on, but I could look up in my handy.
It was Brian something.
Brian Garrity. Garrity is the name. And I mean, that's an impressive thing to do, to just sit there by yourself essentially and act for the camera for that long. But yeah, that was frustrating. And then it all kind of it builds up to something. And I don't think we have to give away what happens at the end in order to say that. I mean, to me, I think regardless of what happened at the end, it was going to be a disappointment because you're just waiting and waiting and waiting for them to meet or for him to find out the truth about this woman. And whatever it is, it's not going to be as interesting as you imagine that it would be.
Or the truth about this person, if you will.
Right. Yes. Not to be too specific. But yeah, what can we say positive about this movie?
I actually did like the not the whole entire ending, but the actual ending. I like that it didn't cop out and show the happy ever after.
Right.
It just kind of leaves you wondering. You know he's going to do the right thing, but it doesn't close it up all that neatly, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, I guess if it's based on a true story, I suppose if that's what really happened, that's what really happened. But it's true that you don't get like a neat wrap up to the story. So I don't know. I'm struggling to find. I came out of this movie just feeling, you know, kind of shrugging, which is not what you want out of the best film, supposedly in the festival.
Yeah, I agree. But also, there was a note before this final screening today that who's the second command?
Mike Plant of CineVegas.
Plant of CineVegas, who we love very much at Las Vegas Weekly.
He's awesome.
He came in and did the introduction and mentioned that this was the film that they sort of loved the big picture of it. There are other films that they like certain aspects, but this was kind of, a full circle liked all the way around.
Right. Well, that's fair. I mean, I guess I can see that. And they did give out a couple other special citations to some of the other narrative films. Godspeed, which they make up these weird random it was an Exceptional Artistic Achievement Award.
That's a doozy.
For Godspeed, which means nothing, but which was like I thought was a decent little thriller. It was a little slow, but it did look very pretty. And then Filmmaker to Watch Award for the director of the movie Etienne, which I know I didn't see, but I know you were not a fan of that movie.
I don't know if I wouldn't say I wasn't necessarily a fan. I thought it was okay. I believe my review was 2.5 stars out of 5.
Right, which is right in the middle.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think that's right.
But I just, when you read the description, and yes, you shouldn't, you know, go necessarily by descriptions, but it seemed this kind of quirky... boy loves his hamster, and the plot, I'm not giving anything away when it says that he takes him on a tour of the world, quote-unquote, which is really Northern California, on his bicycle, because his hamster's been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he wants to show him what's out there. Now, it's a good concept. I liked it. But what I found really distracting was the fact that... the entire cast and feeling and even music of the movie was very, I hate to say hipster because it's such a horrible term and, you know, some of us at this very publication could be accused of falling into that category.
No.
But it was just very hipstery, inundated every aspect of it. The clothing, the ironic mustaches, the, you know, accordions, just the way they talked. And I felt that if they would have just told the story without trying to be super cool and kind of just delivering the emotional message without, you know, having to hide behind this sort of facade, I would have enjoyed it more.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a complaint that you could apply to a lot of film festival movies, that they sort of dress up whatever their story is with a lot of affect and a lot of sort of superfluous artsiness. Mm-hmm. And that's why, I mean, Godspeed I did like, I think more than you liked Etienne, but it also is it's a thriller. It's a good thriller. I mean, there's just some suspense and violence and all that stuff, but it definitely dresses itself up with these sort of loftier pretensions that it doesn't always achieve. But that's, I think that's what you expect out of a film festival.
That I do.
But... but actually, I think, refreshingly, the movie that won the top prize for documentaries is not at all pretentious. They saved the pretentious one for a special side pretentiousness award.
One of many.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, come on. Exceptional Artistic Achievement. That's a pretentious name for an award. But the top documentary film was All In, the poker movie, which was a documentary about the popularity of poker, obviously a very pertinent topic for Las Vegas Film Festival. And
it was also playing during the World Series of Poker, or whatever the appropriate title of that competition is.
Yeah, no, I think that's correct, which is going on over at the Rio. And yeah, I think coincidentally, maybe. Of course, that meant like a lot of the poker players weren't able to walk the red carpet, which is a serious...
Coincidentally or not,
right.
As you see fit.
But... I know you like this movie a lot, and I went to see this earlier today, and I thought, for the most part, this was well done, and I was impressed with the range of people that they interview for this movie and just the different kind of ways that they can attack the subject of poker and its popularity. It's something that you think, oh, maybe there isn't a whole lot to say about it, but they find a lot to say about it, and for the most part, it's interesting. I felt like they accorded a little too much importance to some subjects that they seem to think are really important, or maybe they just got people to interview that would talk about them. But Chris Moneymaker.
Right. Yeah. In my 4-star review, I did mention that they kissed Moneymaker's, can I say it?
Yeah, go ahead. You can say it.
Well, buttocks.
Oh, okay.
In the film a little bit. But I can see how that would make sense as he, you know, as they pointed out in the movie, he did get so many people interested in and involved in poker because, you know, he sort of showed that anybody can do this. And like you said about the range of people, I found that was really interesting as well. They had, you know, a Pulitzer-winning historian. They had Matt Damon talking about the movie Rounders. They had Ira Glass from NPR. It goes on and on. Actors, a lot of poker execs, et cetera, et cetera. And it just kind of showed that, I mean, you know, there's a little bit of poker in everyone's life. It really kind of transcends your station in life. And, you know, as one of the bigger messages was, anyone can come out a winner.
Right, which is nice. It's a nice message. But, yeah, I had no idea, at least that according to this movie, at least Rounders is like this incredibly important, influential film. And that was another thing I felt like. I was like, really? There's no other movie that you would talk about related to poker. But apparently – so, I mean, I felt like that was a little much. And especially the Moneymaker thing. Not so much that they kissed his ass, but that they just go through in minute detail every move that he made to get to win that World Series of Poker in 2003. And you know that he won. We already know from the start. Like, we don't need a play-by-play. So,
well, I thought it was – I mean, they showed, you know, he was down to $50 in his bank account and 40 of it he spent, you know, playing online. And, you know, that's some gripping drama, man.
Right. Well, there's that. But then after that, when he finally gets to the tournament and they're like, well, and he's sitting at this table and then he had this hand and then the other guy had this hand and then he stood up and then he did – and I was just finding it so tedious. And I'm not, like, interested in poker as a spectator. I don't really play poker. So – other than that part, I felt like the movie really grabbed me and made me care about poker, even though I don't. But that was the one part where I felt like if I'm not interested in poker, then this has lost me. But I mean, overall, I did enjoy this movie. I think it's a good selection for the documentary winner. I'm far more enthusiastic about this than I would be about Easier with Practice.
Yeah, and it was funny, too.
It was funny, yeah, and well-made. And I think in the past at the festival, there have been a lot of these, or at least a number of sort of Vegas-related documentaries that you think they throw in almost out of pity that are very superficial. There was one last year called Women in Boxes about magician's assistants, which was just very sloppy and some kind of slapped together and
yeah,
not very insightful. Yeah, it was not worth it. It was not really worth seeing. So I liked All In, although there was one other documentary, the one that actually won the Audience Award for Best Documentary that I think we both liked more, and that was Winnebago Man, which you gave 4.5 out of 5 stars
in
to.
My 4.5 star out of 5 review. Yes, it was made very clear I enjoyed this documentary very much. It was probably the best thing I saw all festival.
And I liked it too. I think, I don't know if it was quite the best thing, but it was definitely one of the best things.
Of everything I saw.
Of everything you saw, right. Right.
I did not watch all 50 some odd movies.
Neither did I, although I tried valiantly. Came close. But yeah, this is a Winnebago Man is about this guy named Jack Rebney, who is sort of a YouTube sensation. He made a promotional video for Winnebagos back in, I guess it was the 80s or something like that. And
right. And it was before even viral video. The film made a point of kind of showing how it was dubbed from VHS tape to VHS tape, you know, kind of passed on from friends. Dude, you gotta see this. So it predates even Two Girls, One Cup.
If only they made a feature film about that.
Next year.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I found interesting about this movie, that they show how those tape trading networks from the 80s or whenever really were the earlier version of viral video. And it's not just about this guy. And what the video is outtakes from this promotional video where he gets very upset and he's swearing at the crew and very creatively swearing.
Yes.
And that this kind of thing didn't just start with the advent of YouTube and the internet, that people were passing this around. And the movie goes beyond just telling you about this guy. And the guy himself is very interesting. And when they finally track him down and they show how he's living his life now and how the video has affected him is very fascinating. But there's also a lot of stuff, I think, that delves into the sort of psychology behind viral videos and the history of viral videos and how it affects people's lives who end up in these videos sort of inadvertently. So I really liked it. It's the kind of thing that you think, like, how is there going to be a 90-minute movie about this subject? And yet, by the end of the movie, you feel like there's probably so much more for them to say because they really give you a lot.
Especially with such a character as Jack Rebney, yes. It was also I liked it because you kind of went in thinking it was going to be one thing, and then it turned into something completely different. It was, you know, this tale of morality and redemption and you know, looking back at the end of your life and how you've affected people, and also very funny. And I also like the way it wasn't, you know, like a lot of the other documentaries, just here are some facts and some talking heads. And this was actually the director, Ben Steinbauer, who kind of actually set out on journey. So you're following him as it all happens. So it's sort of unfolding before your very eyes.
Yeah, that is. And he was engaging. I think you can make him, if you make a documentary and you put yourself front and center, that can be very irritating. But I never felt that about him. I mean, you got his genuine interest in this guy and sort of his fervor for tracking him down and finding out what happened to him.
Yeah,
so.
He's in a different class from Michael Moore, definitely.
That is true. That is definitely true. So, yeah, so that one, I think, definitely one of the highlights of the festival, which won the Audience Award for documentary. And the other, the Pretentiousness Award, was the Special Jury Award for Artistic Vision, which went to the film Beetle Queen Conquers Tokyo, which was a movie that I thought took on a very fascinating subject. It's about the Japanese fascination with bugs in their culture, and it made it into sort of this arty, obtuse. I felt like I didn't learn anything about this thing that I really wanted to know about, and lots of shots of disgusting bugs, though. That was pretty much what it had going for it.
I unfortunately did not get to see it, but I have no problem with disgusting bugs.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't rush out to see that. And then the last feature award was the Audience Award for narrative film, which went to The Revenant, which was what I thought was a sort of mediocre horror movie. But everybody likes vampires and zombies, and it's got comedy to it, and it's not bad. It's from a local guy actually named Cary Pryor, although it was made in L.A. And I think he got a lot of support. He was good at getting friends and supporters out who voted for the film. So congratulations to him. It'll probably be on DVD shelves at some point. But
I also unfortunately did not get to see this, but I have no problem with vampires.
Vampires and Bugs, approved by Julie Seba.
Yes.
So in addition to The Revenant, which is sort of semi-local, there were a couple other locally related movies in the festival. The most exciting of which, I think, is Thor at the Bus Stop, which was written and directed by Jerry and Mike Thompson, who are longtime local filmmakers. They've done a lot of short films, some of which have been in CineVegas in the past and at other film festivals in Vegas. This is their first feature, which incorporates elements of a couple of their shorts, one which was called Thor at the Bus Stop and another called Passenger Seat, that played at CineVegas last year. And it's always nice to see people from here make movies that get into CineVegas, and it's even better when the movies are actually decent, which almost never happens. And I've seen a lot of local features, most of which aren't really worth praising or talking about or watching or even acknowledging their existence. But this movie I thought was a lot of fun. It's sort of quirky and funny. It's got these intersecting stories, got a bit of the supernatural, I guess, or the mythical,
right,
or something. But, you know, some fairly grounded comedy. And it's not a transcendent, fabulous film, but it's entertaining. And I think it's a good start for these guys on making features.
Yeah, for a first feature, it's definitely, I mean, I wasn't bored for a second of it. And I don't know, you know, how much it had to do with the jam-packed audience of very enthusiastic locals who were there to support their hometown heroes, as it were. Even though I also stuck my head in the screening today, and it was also just as sold out.
Oh, that's great.
I believe. I don't have actual numbers on that or anything. Don't quote me.
You didn't count?
No, I was going to run and see Easy Earth Practice. Yeah, I definitely agree. It was fun and kind of funky, and there was actually, you know, under all the humor, you know, there's a life lesson of just be cool, and that will spread and make the world a cooler place. And I particularly like the very last scene where it's not giving anything away to say that Thor, the titular, how do you say it?
Titular?
Yeah.
Or title character.
The title character of the film Thor at the Bus Stop. Thor, he's kind of having a bad day because he's supposed to be fighting this giant snake creature at the end who's destined to kill him. And so all through the movie you're thinking, they're not going to show this, they're not going to show this. And I will leave it up to the, you know, listener, your listening audience's imagination, but they pleasantly surprise you.
It is, yeah. It's very nice. It has a nice little kicker of an ending, and it ties everything together. And Jerry Thompson as Thor does a good job. Brings a bit of gravitas.
And Mike Thompson as Chuck, the white trash. What was his exact title?
Oh, it's just white. I think it's White Trash Chuck.
White Trash Chuck.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of good actors. They did a good job, I think, pulling from the pool of local talent that you can see how much talent there is here in Las Vegas. Good acting, and the Thompsons themselves are technically very proficient, and yeah, a lot of fun.
And excellent music as well. A lot of it was provided by A Crowd of Small Adventures and Hungry Cloud. Also Kid Meets Cougar and Mother McKenzie, all local bands worth checking out.
Definitely. So yeah, hopefully they'll get something, a DVD release or something out of that, and people can check it out.
At least a soundtrack.
At least a soundtrack. There you go. Or more showings. I know they're going to other film festivals, so we hope for the best for them. And sadly, much less interesting or praiseworthy, Vegas Based on a True Story, which was made by Amir Nadiri, who's not a local. He's actually Iranian, and he lives in New York, but came to Vegas and lived here for 2 years to make this kind of tedious, very didactic story about a family torn apart because they believe that there is buried treasure in their yard, and their father is a gambling addict, and it's all about how people in Vegas are obsessed with money, and the family is shattered, and it just seemed very like most of the movies that we get about Vegas, kind of obtuse and condescending about people who live here.
Yeah, I lived here for 2 years myself. I came away with far different ideas about the city and its lovely inhabitants. And I definitely agree with your take on that. It was just, this kind of lowest common denominator. People do anything to make a quick buck, and they're only, you know, out for themselves. And, you know, the family's falling apart. Eh, so be it. I got a beer to drink. You know, that's just, especially from, you know, an outsider who filmed it in Pahrump. Incidentally,
right.
Based on a urban legend from Pahrump, incidentally, title of the film notwithstanding.
Yeah, it's really more of like a true-ish story.
Yeah. I also thought the guy looked a lot like a gone-to-seed John Tesh, and that was also very distracting
actor,
for
yeah.
me.
You know, I hadn't thought of that, but that is an interesting point.
Yeah,
and I think what's disappointing about not only this movie, but there was another, which I know you didn't see, but the movie that opened the festival, St. John of Las Vegas, which is set partially in Las Vegas and shot partially here. And both I interviewed both of these directors, and both of them talking about how they want to show the real Las Vegas and they don't want to show what other crappy Hollywood movies show Las Vegas as. But I think both of them demonstrate a complete misunderstanding of the quote-unquote real Las Vegas. Whereas Thor at the Bus Stop, which is never on the Strip or in a casino, there's no slot machines or anything like that. And despite its sort of quirky unreality, I think is better at showing the weird characters who inhabit this city that have nothing to do with gambling or greed or anything like that.
Yes, people constantly walk down the suburban sidewalks in capes and drinking entire gallons of milk.
Okay, well, not literally, but, you know, figuratively maybe.
Oh, it's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor.
See. Right. I'm going to have to watch that again.
At least it's not about greed and gambling. Well, okay, maybe not. But but Thor, much better than Vegas Based on a True Story. So I think finally we talked about a few movies that we liked, but if there are any other particular highlights of the festival that you found, or your couple, one or two favorite films from over the weekend, aside from Winnebago Man, which I know you loved.
Yeah, and my 4.5-star review, I made that very clear. Winnebago
yes.
Man. I actually just watched today, this afternoon, I watched Palermo Shooting, which I liked a lot.
Really?
I did. I had no idea what it was about. I'll save the one aspect I didn't enjoy for you to read my review. suffice to say, Cine Vegas will not be happy. But I liked it. It was sort of, you know, one of these meditations on death and how this famous artist in Germany has this fantastic life, and yet he's not fulfilled. And so he starts having these dreams that kind of spill into real life. And, you know, I mean, that kind of thing, you know, has been done before and done wrong. But this was very visually arresting, first of all. A lot of great effects. And it didn't really sort of hit you over the head with any emotion. Just kind of let it play out really naturally. And it was just this nice, calm, sort of think piece up until the end. Where there was a actor who came on the scene and speechified a lot and kind of shifted the balance a little bit. who goes by the name of Dennis Hopper. However, I enjoy the
honorary
film.
Chair of CineVegas.
Dennis Hopper is a lovely man. I love it when he wears his white suit around the CineVegas headquarters lounge and poses with pictures. I didn't care for him in the role, but I did enjoy the film.
Huh. Well, that's, you know, I actually deliberately avoided that film because the reviews from other festivals, and it's been kicking around festivals for over a year, have been kind of brutal. Uh-huh. So, but no, but that's interesting to hear another perspective because I had kind of written that movie off. And so maybe I should not have done that.
It was also interesting. I saw it with a audience of, it was kind of all the volunteers from the festival were watching it, and a lot of older skewing demographics, and they were just mystified. They had no idea what was going on. It was all I could do to, you know, stop them outside the hall and say, now look, here's what was
Let
happening.
Let me explain this movie to you.
Yeah, I could be wrong. You're kicking around a year.
Right. Well, no. Hey, that's...
It personally spoke to me.
Cool. Well,
and Dennis Hopper's great in it.
Yeah. Right. Dennis Hopper, awesome. That's the bottom line. Well, I too loved Winnebago Man, and I would heartily recommend it, and I hope it, I mean, I can't imagine it won't get some sort of distribution. It's very professional. It's very appealing and audience friendly. And
it's
so,
very timely also.
And that too, and I definitely think it'll get some sort of release, and I hope to see that happen. Probably my favorite movie of the festival, slightly more than Winnebago Man, was The Square, which played early in the festival and only played once, unfortunately. It's an Australian film, which actually did open in theaters in Australia, so I hope that bodes well for the chances of it opening here. And it's a very film noir-y, twisty, turny thriller, one of those movies where the main characters are like, look, we found a bunch of money, let's take it, nothing bad will happen. And then, of course, everything bad happens. And in that sense, it's similar to a lot of other movies you may have seen, like No Country for Old Men or A Simple Plan or Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. But it does that kind of thing very, very well. It has a really good sense of place. It's really well shot. The acting is all really good. And despite the fact that it's constantly moving on this plot and people are dying and double-crossing and whatever, you still get a really good sense of these characters as people and why they're motivated to do these sort of ridiculously awful things to each other. So that one I liked a lot. And again, I have high hopes that it will end up with a U.S. release because I think it's absolutely appealing and mainstream and could definitely be a success.
You would think at some point that characters in movies would have watched all these other movies and no better.
You would think that. And of course, there's the moment in the movie where the one character is like, let's take the money. And the other character is like, we shouldn't do that. And for a second, you're like, maybe they won't take the money. Maybe they'll be like, no, you know, let's just go to the store or something. But of course, that's not going to happen. But yeah, despite that familiarity, I think it's really just a really top-notch, well-made thriller. So I thoroughly recommend that. And hopefully people will get a chance to see both of those movies at some point soon, and they won't just disappear, as happens to so many film festival films. So mm-hmm. I think that about wraps up any other important highlights from CineVegas, parties, things we drank.
Oh, yes,
because
we all drank. Went to the
parties. We are big partiers.
Why
don't
we have someone in here to talk about the parties?
Neither
of us attended anything because we're both social introverts.
Yes. Who love movies.
They're great. I did want to say, though, I saw the John Voight talk, who was presented with the Marquee Award this year, and they did a screening of a film called Looking to Get Out, which I also believe is from the early 80s, I want to say. And it's partially set in Vegas, also stars Anne Margaret and Burt Young. It's coming to DVD at the end of this year, and it was actually a fun movie. It wasn't the typical Vegas. They do come and try to get rich, and there's a little bit of the mob and blah, blah, blah. But it was really interesting to see a very young and very enthusiastic John Voight. It was kind of almost a swingers precursor, and he could have been Vince Vaughn.
Wow.
It actually captured my attention a lot more than I thought it would.
Huh. All right. Well, check that out on DVD. John Voight as Vince Vaughn. That is not something I would have thought of.
With a mustache.
That's even better. I think that'll do it then. My thanks to Julie Seebaugh for joining me.
My pleasure.
For Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.